1927, the American physiologist Walter Cannon coined a phrase for how people respond to being scared: fight or flight. And it's true, right? If we somehow found ourselves in a dangerous or unsafe situation, in order to protect ourselves or our loved ones, we'd either stand our ground and fight, or we'd take off. Pretty reasonable reactions. Years later, researchers added a third possibility: fight, flight, or freeze. You can guess what the freeze response looks like. You get frightened, and then you don't do anything. You try to protect yourself by simply staying right where you are. Imagine you're driving your car, and you see another driver not stopping at a four-way stop. The fight response would involve you laying on your horn. The flight response would be speeding up to get away from the car. The freeze response would be not doing anything and hoping you miss the other car. Now, a key part of this concept is that all of these responses are designed for us to deal with temporary threats. The adrenaline pump you feel in each of these responses to danger isn't sustainable over time. But when we find ourselves in unfamiliar territory or in a new territory for a long period of time, we can find ourselves living in a fight, flight, or freeze response. And subjecting our bodies for long periods of time to this can lead to exhaustion, burnout, or even make us susceptible to getting sick. It's not an ideal way to live. Now, many of us experienced this long fight, flight, or freeze response during the pandemic. For those of you who responded with a fight response, it might have looked like feeling more irritable, being argumentative with family, driving around town hoarding sanitizer and toilet paper. For those of you with the flight response, it might have looked like just hiding out at home, like all the time. You refused to engage in any activities outside your home, even if they were deemed safe. It was even difficult to go on walks outside or to the grocery store. You may have found yourself doing a lot of people-pleasing with friends and family in order to avoid conflict or confrontation. For those of you with the freeze response, it might have looked like numbing your feelings with food or alcohol, spending a lot of time on social media, binging an excessive amount of TV shows. These are all typical responses to fear in the midst of a global pandemic. But here's the thing: none of these responses are necessarily healthy. And the reason we make unhealthy decisions in these situations is because fear can shut down our reasoning and logic when we're in the fight, flight, or freeze response. Very few decisions made in fear are healthy. But what if we could add a fourth response, a fourth possibility to the list? What if we responded to new and unexpected situations with a different response? What if we could find ourselves in new and unfamiliar territories and find a sense of calm that can lead us to make better decisions? What if our response was one of faith, not fight? What if our response was one of prayer, not flight? Of going straight to our Heavenly Father to get His perspective on the situation we find ourselves in? I get how that can sound naive or simplistic, because oftentimes prayer feels like the last thing we want to do. Prayer doesn't feel very actionable. It feels, slow. It can feel like it's only something we're supposed to do instead of something that's actually helping the situation. More often than not, prayer seems complicated, uncomfortable, or maybe even boring. For some of us, we just don't think prayer really works. Because how many times have we prayed and God didn't seem to change it or fix it or answer it? But what if this isn't what God has in mind for us in our communication with Him? What if it's not just about getting our way or getting our answer or changing our circumstances? Is it possible that our perception about prayer is way off? And what if the key to finding ourselves thriving in a new territory is finding a new way to pray? A way of praying that keeps the fight, flight, or freeze responses at bay and gives us a new understanding and perspective of our current circumstances. Now, as we read last week, the Israelites were at a pivotal moment. Their longtime leader Moses had died, and a new leader, Joshua, was stepping in to bring them into a new territory. And this new land was unfamiliar and full of uncertainty. But God reassured Joshua by instructing him to keep his mind focused on the truth, God's word. Years later, the Apostle Paul echoed this message by telling the Colossian church to set their minds on things above. So in this process of setting our minds on things above, we instinctively know that prayer is a part of that process. But how? What exactly is prayer supposed to do? What outcomes should we expect from prayer, and what outcomes should we not expect? There are examples of prayer all throughout Scripture. But in the Gospels, Jesus told us that there's a predictable outcome for prayer, a reward for prayer. So let's look at what Jesus had to say. "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." First, Jesus said, "When you pray." So for Jesus, there was an assumption that we would, in fact, be praying. And I think most of us would say we do pray. We pray things like, "God, get this guy out of my way on the highway," or "Help me find a parking space," or "Thank you for this day," or "Thank you for this food." And I'm not saying you shouldn't pray those prayers, but that's not what Jesus was implying here. Jesus was talking about intentional and conversational prayer. For Jesus, prayer, time with God, should simultaneously be something that's built into your life and something that builds your life. It should be a habit. It should be a discipline. Now, we all know what discipline is. It's an intentional and deliberate interference to your normal routine. It's something you have to try to start doing. It's something that's learned. So when we respond to a new territory with prayer, it's not a natural response. It's learned. It takes practice and repetition. Jesus's hope for us was that prayer becomes a when and not an if in our lives. Jesus then went on to say that when we pray, we should shut the door and pray in our closet. In other words, there's an element to this kind of prayer that's private, that's personal. This is different from what normally happens in your routine. And he said not to just go into your room, but to close the door. Maybe in a modern translation, we could add, put down our phones. He wants us to focus on him, away from all the distractions of this world. Imagine it like the moments when you're with the person you love most in the world. In those moments, it can often seem like the rest of the world's problems fade away, even if it's just for a few minutes. All your attention is on them, which causes everything else to move to the background. Our Heavenly Father wants our attention like that. Because if we can get alone with God to talk and listen, He has this amazing ability to take our attention off our problems and place it on Him. Jesus said, "If we do that, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus told us there's a reward attached to our private prayer life. Now, you might say, "I'm not doing this for a reward." That's fine, but it doesn't matter. Jesus said God's going to reward you anyway. And what's the reward? Well, Jesus doesn't explicitly tell us, but I know what the reward isn't. The reward isn't God saying yes to all of our prayers. The reward isn't that we get the new car or the job or that she says yes to the date. That's not how God works. That's how a genie works. I think one reward for consistent prayer is that when we find ourselves in a new territory situation where the fight, flight, or freeze response wants to kick in, faith kicks in instead. In those moments, we don't become a person of fear. Instead, we become a person who exhibits love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of God's Spirit in us. Prayer isn't all about something you get. It's about the person you become. God wants to develop you and grow you to be a person who is more like Jesus. Jesus stepped out of heaven into a new territory and displayed love and grace, peace and patience to the world. Like we looked at a couple of weeks ago, Paul wrote this in his letter to the Roman church. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." A big part of renewing our minds begins with consistent prayer. It's what readies us and steadies us when the fear and confusion of a new season inevitably comes at us. So think of it this way. When you're in new territory, prioritize prayer. But how do you start doing this? Okay, when it comes to prayer, we tend to make things more complicated than they need to be. There are two simple ways to begin incorporating daily prayer into your life. First, pick a time. Making a scheduled time for prayer helps us prioritize prayer. If we don't pick a time, chances are good that life and busyness will keep us from praying. Once you pick a time, the second thing is to pick a place. It could be anywhere you can have privacy and quiet. Maybe it's your bedroom. Maybe it's a guest room. Maybe it's actually a literal closet. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's on a greenway. Whatever the space, find a place that will allow you a few minutes of peaceful prayer. Now, if you're unfamiliar with prayer, you may be thinking, I don't know how to do this. What do I even pray? What do I even say? If that's you, you're normal. Simply tell God you don't know what to say. Prayer, at its heart, is honesty. So what's the most honest thing you can say? I'm tired. I'm confused. I'm hurt. I don't know how to look at the future. I'm scared for the people I love. I'm scared for me. I'm worried about the future. I need more patience. I need more joy. Prayer is spiritual honesty. Take yourself off the hook of having to say something that's profound. Just be honest. As you grow in prayer, ask God to build you into the type of person who walks in faith in new seasons and not in fear. So find a time and a place every day so prayer becomes proactive instead of reactive. Find a time and a place every day so prayer is something that builds your life up instead of something you only use to bail your life out. Prayer is simply about connecting with God. It's not an attempt to change God's mind about us or about events. Instead, prayer can change us so that things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and forgiveness can resound within us in difficult times. Prayer builds a well of resilience inside of us. So find a time and find a place. Be honest with your Heavenly Father and find yourself being led, guided, and loved as you walk into new territories every day.